Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. That's where we'll begin in a moment. But I want to introduce a new phrase, a new phrase into our church culture. And it comes from the title of my message. The title of my message today is Living in Light of Eternity. Living in Light of Eternity. But here's the phrase I want us to catch and bring into our Bethel family culture. And it goes like this: in light of eternity. Would you say that with me? All those who are watching again online, would you say that? In light of eternity. In light of eternity. And I'll unpack that a little bit more. In fact, this prop that I have, this rope, I want it to represent eternity. So imagine this rope that goes a little bit further than behind that door. But imagine this rope goes east around the earth and continues to go east forever and ever and ever. This rope right here, okay? Because if you go east, you'll always be going east, right? Unlike if you go north, eventually you'll be going south, right? And the earth, it's round. You get it? You with me? You follow me so far? So this rope just continually wraps around the earth over and over and over and over and over again. Can you imagine how long that is? That's a long rope, isn't it? And it doesn't end. It doesn't stop. And that is just the beginning of eternity. Now, imagining this rope that goes around the earth over and over and over and over again. And then, let's look at this portion of the rope. This portion that has been colored represents your life. Your life compared to eternity. Eternity. Your life in eternity. Your life here on earth. Be 70, 80, 100, 110 years, your life. Okay, I want this perspective. So in this life, no matter what you face in this life, and there'll be great highs and great lows, there will be problems and challenges and trials and tests. As we see, as we're going to see in the scriptures, that God uses these tests and these troubles and things to grow us and prepare us for this eternity. And in this life, there are times that we need to remind ourselves, in light of eternity, in light of this, why am I getting so upset? Right? In light of eternity, why am I not doing the right thing? In light of eternity, does this argument with my spouse, with my wife, does it really matter that much in light of eternity? This momentary difficulty and pain, can I endure it even if it lasts this long in light of eternity? See, this represents the warm-up lap. Represents your life, which is a warm-up lap for eternity. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Colossians chapter, actually 3, verse 1. Since you were raised from the dead with Christ, aim at what is in heaven. Aim for what's in heaven. What does he mean? The target you should be shooting for in this life should be in heaven. Not here on earth, but in heaven. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, think only about things that are in heaven, not the things on earth. Your old sinful self has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Christ is your life. And when he comes again, you will share in his glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, God. We thank you that you made us eternal beings, that we will live forever. What a gift, what an opportunity to be immortal. We were created in your likeness to live forever. Jesus, you came to earth. You were sent to earth by the Father of lights so that we could live with you and him forever. Holy Spirit, open up our eyes and our ears to receive this truth today, the truth of eternity. For eternity has been placed into our hearts. Let us recognize that. Let us recognize that we will live forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. King Solomon, the wisest man in the Old Testament, he penned this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has planted eternity in the human heart. God has placed eternity in the human heart. This is why death makes no sense, no matter how old somebody is. It just doesn't make sense. It's just like, we just know that it's not the end. We just know it. And even those that barely believe in God are always talking about loved ones looking down at them. Oh, and I hope so. I hope that's the case, right? But I actually don't think my loved ones are looking down. I think they can't keep their eyes off of Jesus. Amen. I know if I'm in heaven, I ain't looking down at you. Sorry. But in the scriptures, God promises for those who believe and who have put their trust in him that we could look forward to three rewards. There are three rewards awaiting those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Number one, affirmation. Affirmation that God will say, well done, good and faithful. One day that you can look forward to and envision your Father in heaven, King Jesus in heaven saying, well done, good and faithful servants. Number two, promotion. You can look forward to, no matter how great your life has been here on earth, if you've lived it for him, if you've chosen to take this portion of your eternity here on earth to live for him, no matter what this life here was, there's promotion up here. Great, Pastor Mike. That's what you can be looking forward to. And it's not something you earn. Understand something about rewards. Rewards are not something you earn. They're something you receive for something you've done. But a reward is something that you get that way out pays what you've done. A wage is you getting something that you deserve. But that's not what you can have to, we look forward to. Our wages. So, the fact is our wages were really a separation from God. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But with that gift that he's given you, with the gift of eternal life, with the eternity of heaven, with the heaven God has placed in you, with the gift of the Holy Spirit that he's placed in all those who believe, you have the opportunity to live for rewards. But how often do you think about that? Or are you consumed about thinking about this? You know, how many years do we work so hard? And eventually, if you know, you got enough money to make it through a day, Now you move on to, you make it through a week, and then a month, and then a year, and then you start thinking about, oh, one day when I can retire, right? And you're consumed, well, I have enough to retire. And you should think about that. It's a good thing to think about, but it should pale in comparison to how often you think about this. And yet, so many are just living for this, consumed with this. Yeah, your accounts here and your 401s and your pensions and all of those are making you feel comfortable about this. But what about this? Is there anything being stored up in heaven for this? Because, man, the compounding that happens in heaven, no mind has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive of the great investment the kingdom of heaven is. Amen? Abraham Lincoln said this, "Surely God would not have created such a being as man to exist only for a day. No, no, no. Man was made for immortality. Made to last forever." See, life on earth is just the dress rehearsal before the real production. You will spend far more time on the other side of death in eternity than you ever will here. Earth is the staging area, the preschool, the tryout for your life in eternity. So, I have three life metaphors for us today when thinking about this. Three life metaphors for this. Number one, life is a temporary assignment. This life is a temporary assignment. Now, we love the verse. We all have it in our treasure boxes. And those who don't know what a treasure box is, it's one you accumulate the promises of God in the Bible. And you write them out and you put them in that treasure box. They're those things that are dear to your heart, those scriptures. And one of them we all have is Jeremiah 29:11, right? For we know the plans that he has for us. Plans to give us a hope and a future, right? They're good plans. They're good plans that give us a bright hope and a future. But do you know what those plans are? Those plans are your assignment. And it's a temporary assignment that you have. But how much do you care about that? How much does that matter to you? How much do you think about, am I fulfilling my life's assignment? My life's purpose? And if you don't have joy and excitement in your life, then, man, you don't have, and you have not yet discovered God's life assignment for you. But what you do with this assignment determines this assignment. Again, see that this is eternity. This is just a fraction. Remember, this goes around and around and around the earth over and over and over again. Psalm 39:4 says, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is." The scriptures instruct us and help us go, remind me, Lord. Is that your prayer? Do you ask God, remind me how short this life is? Please, remind me. Remind me. Why? Because if you even want to have the best life here, you must be reminded of this. See, this, knowing this and living in light of eternity, oh, helps no matter what your assignment is here. See, what I'm telling you is to help you here. It is to help you now. But you can't focus on this if you want all of this. And if you want this to be the best. In fact, you know, a very godly thing to work on would be your marriage, wouldn't it? Like, that would be a positive thing. And some people initially come to church because they want help in their marriage. And great, come, taste and see that God is good. But guess what? That's not the answer to this. Your marriage is not your assignment. Now, your marriage should help with your assignment. Should help with your assignment. But if you make your marriage what it's about, what if you gain an amazing marriage, but yet forfeit your soul? What good is that? You know, what? You know, you make your career, make whatever. Don't seek after the things in this earth. In fact, what I have discovered, more people that do that, they ruin it. We're really good as humans of destroying good things. And when we make even marriage the utmost in our life, we'll destroy it. But what did Jesus instruct? Don't worry about the things in this world. Don't worry about your marriage. Don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. This life has enough worries. But the answer to a great marriage and a great life is to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness in your marriage. I've seen over and over again, I've been in this a long time, pastoring a lot of people, and people who get the wrong focus, even their marriage. Oh, their kids? Oh, parents, let me help you. Don't destroy your kids by making your kids your assignment. Yes, it's within the assignment, but it's not the assignment. Temporarily, it can be even feel like, oh, it's good. I've focused on my kids. No, you will actually ruin your kids. His kingdom is your assignment. And the purposes that He has for you in that. Amen? Amen. So again, life metaphor. Number one, life is a temporary assignment. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to Him." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Who says you are better than others? What do you have that has not been given to you? And if it has not been given to you, why do you brag as if you did not receive it as a gift?" Everything good comes from the Father of lights. Everything that we have in this life is... it's a gift. You still have breath. It's a gift. You didn't pay for that air. Now, we paid for the cool air in here, okay? And the clean air. But air itself is a gift from God that we should steward. Right? Come on. Get all of those, you know, green people in here. Come on, we're all about keeping, you know, the air and the earth, the gift from God. We want to take care of it. Amen? But they're gifts. They're not entitlements. They're gifts, and they're not things you earn. They're gifts. And what are you going to do with those gifts? How are you going to steward those gifts? Because this life is a temporary assignment. But do you even care about that assignment? That does it even matter? Because if you're not thinking about eternity that often, you're really not thinking about this. The way God wants you to think about His assignment that He has for you and me. Matthew 25, 21, it's where we find the reward of one day hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Hallelujah. The next life metaphor that we have, and just three today. I'm already to number two. God is a God of miracles. Life is a trust. Life is a trust. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "But God keeps His promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. Listen to how it's translated in the Passion Translation. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you, and he will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape. He will bring you out of it victoriously. Hallelujah. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, if your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receives the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. See, life is a trust. Can you trust him? Do you trust that he's a rewarder? Do you trust that he will meet every one of your needs? Can you trust him? Can you trust him when you don't feel him? Remember, the promise is he will never leave you or forsake you. But when you don't feel him, when he doesn't feel close, will you trust him? King Hezekiah knew the Lord, but it said the Lord withdrew from him to test his heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, it says, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Here's the thing. God knows what's in your heart. But he allows us to go through tests to show us what's in ours. To show us what's in ours and show us what we're really trusting, who we're really trusting. So this is our Father in heaven. He's so good. I remember all of my kids when they were young and they first began to swim, right? And I first brought them to the side of the pool and they were standing there and I'd help them get in and I would grab them, right? And I'd pull them in and then I'd put them back up and then I'd take a tiny step back, not really, but just pull my arms back and I'm like, jump, come on. Jump to daddy. And all they had to do is lift their feet off the ground. I grabbed them, right? And that was the next. And then it was, okay, now a little further, you're going to need to lean into the pool, right? And I caught them. And then it was, they're going to need to step into the pool and I'm going to catch them. And then I'd back up and then they'd have to jump, right? And then I'd back up some more. And then they'd have to jump and swim. And then I'd back all the way up and they'd have to jump and swim all the way across. This is what our Heavenly Father is doing when he says, trust me, I got you. I won't let you sink. Amen. I won't let you sink. Come on. Remember Jesus, even with Peter. It's like, I won't let you drown. Right? I won't let you go down all the way down. I got you. See, there are times that we may not feel God. We not feel him, but he's there. Where can we go, the psalmist says? To the highest mountain? He's there. To the lowest part of the sea? He's there. You can trust him. And so, life metaphor number one is, life is a temporary assignment. Life metaphor number two is, life is a trust. Life is a trust. Will you trust him? See, words like trials, temptation, words like trials, temptations, refining, testing occur more than 200 times in the Bible. Over 200 times you'll find words like trials, temptations, refining, testing. See, God tested Abraham by asking him to offer up his son. Now, that wasn't the first test. was it? First was, hey, go with me. Come with me. I mean, there were multiple tests that led him to that giant test, right? God tested Jacob when he had to work an extra 7 years to receive his wife, Rachel. Adam and Eve failed their test. They didn't trust God. God's like, you can eat from all the trees in the garden. All of them. I'm great. They're incredible. I mean, can we just pause for a moment? Like, no sin in the earth. The trees that produced fruit back then, what would those trees and bushes produce? What did that fruit taste like? Oh, I look forward to one day in heaven tasting what it might have tasted like. Hallelujah, there's eating in heaven, okay? There's banquets in heaven, hallelujah, okay? Thank you, Jesus. One thing to look forward to, man. I mean, I look forward to lunch today, okay? But man, eternity in heaven. But I mean, here again, sorry to get on the tangent, but God is good, okay? God is so good. He's so wonderful. And he said, Adam and Eve, you can have it all but one, just one thing, just because I want your yes to mean something. I want your yes to me to mean something. And they failed the test. They didn't trust him. But God had a plan for all of us who wouldn't trust him. All of us who would sin. This is why we can trust him. Do you know even the angels longed for that day? They heard about it. The angels heard about this story of salvation. They heard about it. But it's in that moment that they're all there, right? 2/3 of the angels are there. 1/3 left. Left him. Didn't trust God. Rebelled. But 2/3 believed in God's goodness. They believed in God's goodness. And they saw it fulfilled on the cross. They saw it in that moment. That God is good and who he says he was when they saw what he did for mankind. And in that moment, all the angels in heaven were like, see, I told you he's good. I told you we made the right choice. Church, if you get a heavenly perspective, if you get this, you understand he can be trusted. He can be trusted. He laid it all down. He laid it all down. He died for you. He took on all of our sins, not just one of ours, all of our sins. Jesus trusted the Father. We can trust the Father. Yes. Amen? It's good stuff. Hallelujah. It's a trust. Life is a trust. Sometimes God intentionally draws back, and we don't sense his closeness, but he's there. You can trust him. Life metaphor number 3. Life is a test. Life is a test. Again, throughout the Bible, we see God testing people's character. Not to shame or guilt people, but to just show them what's inside of them. See, C.S. Lewis said this, there are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those whom God says, all right then, have it your way. All right then, have it your way. I remember many years ago, I was in my youth group. I was one of the leaders in my youth group, and I'd kidnap people to come to church. I would literally, this is a true story. I place the paper bag over some of my friends, you know, kind of tricking them, like, just put it on. We're going somewhere. It's good. It's good. And so we'd get to the church, and And then I take the bag off and I'm like, oh man. And I'm like, oh, come on. And they're already here. I'm your ride anyway. Were you going to walk home? Right? So they'd come on in and I'd get in there and I'd find my pastor and I'd go, Pastor, I don't know what you were going to preach about tonight, but preach the gospel. Preach what you're really, really good at. Preach the story of the gospel because my friends need to hear it. They need to hear it. Yes, the stories that I've heard you tell 200 times. The scriptures I've heard you share 200 times. Do it again. Do it again. Why? Because I have an assignment.
Come on. That's good.
I've got an assignment to bring as many people with me here. See, church, let me just remind you that church isn't about you. So many people in the church treat church like a restaurant. If you're sitting there, you ever find yourself sitting there going, oh, Pastor, I've heard this story again. Yeah, but the person you brought with you hasn't. Oh, you didn't bring anybody with you. See, if you had, then you would have wanted me to share that story because it's a really good story. But instead, you know, you first came and you were like, oh, Pastor, man, it's so deep here. It's so rich. And man, you're such a great Bible teacher. And then you spend, you know, a couple weeks and you're like, man, you only have like two messages. I got more than that now, praise God. But the moment you start thinking like that, you start making church about you. Instead of, this is a really good story. In fact, the first time you heard it, it was life-changing. But now it's like, I've had that before. You know, I've had that hamburger. Like, I want something else. That's called selfishness. Selfishness destroys everything good. But love keeps everything fresh. Keeps everything fresh. So here I was, and I brought several people, and people were just getting saved and saved. And one night after the youth meeting, there were some heavy storms and some tornadoes had come through my town, and I had we packed everybody up, and we went to Taco Bell, and man. What was I thinking? it was cheap. That was what I was thinking. But if you want the best of this part of life, don't go to Taco Bell, okay? So I pile my Ford Escort up with 8 or 9 people. Now, if you know a Ford Escort, it only legally fits 5. But, you know, for the kingdom, I'm like, just pile in, man. I'm not suggesting that, okay? Buy a minivan. Borrow the 15 passenger, okay? Call somebody else up to come help you. But I pile up. We're driving. We're coming around a turn. It's dark. It's wet. And all of a sudden, there's a tree across the road. And I slam on the brakes, and we start sliding into this tree, right? For this tree. And all of a sudden, we stop right before the tree. But then it was as if an angel, like, just tapped me forward to smash my windshield, right? Because God was taking me through a test. Literally, this was, stop me. I mean, we could have died, easily died. I mean, we're coming around the corner, and here's this tree about to just kill us. And we stop. Only just to roll into to smash the windshield and not be able to drive away. So my friends, we get out of the car. Everybody's fine, not a scratch, awesome. But then one of my friends who'd just gotten saved goes, Mike, man, the police are coming. 3 of us should walk around the corner because you're going to get a ticket. Okay, first test. I let my friends do that. I let my friends walk away. Instead of saying, no, 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 no. Okay? So then, God's got a second chances. So now the police officer comes, and my pastor's daughter's sitting there, and the police officer says, so everybody okay? Yeah, yeah. Next question. How many people were in the car? How many people were in the car? I stay quiet. My pastor's daughter goes, there were five of us. I'm like, hey, I didn't lie. Like, you know, it's like. Test number two. Failed that one. Gets all the names, and then my pastor picks us up. So we're driving away. Holy Spirit's like, you're going back. Confess to your pastor that you lied. I'm like, I didn't lie. She lied. So I tell my pastor and I say, will you drive back? See, if you would have asked me just an hour earlier, if somebody would had broken into our youth meeting with a gun and said, deny Jesus or you're going to be shot, I promise you with all my heart, I would have said, shoot me. I believe that. I still believe that I would have done that. And I believe that about probably most of you in this room. But every day we have tests that God gives us. Will we trust Him? We just tell Him the truth. Will we trust Him and wait for the one He has for us? Will we trust Him with our finances? Like, we'll take a bullet for God, okay? Yet we can't trust Him with a tithe. Like, it makes no sense. But it's the truth. Some, you can't trust them with your money, but you'll give them your life. And I believe that. I believe you would give them your life. I believe you would stand up and say, I will not cave. But yet you can't forgive your sister or your life group member. It doesn't equate, does it? Does it what? What? So I go, we go back, and I walk up to the police officer, and I said, sir, can I talk to you for a minute? And he's like, sure, and he's filling out paperwork. I said, hey, I lied, and there weren't five people in there, there were eight. And I put my arms out like this, like, like I'm ready to go in, man, like, just take me, like, I'm so sorry, right? And the police officer had mercy on me, took their names down. He said, get out of here. No ticket, no nothing. And I deserved a ticket. If he gave me one, it would have been the right thing. But I got mercy. And that moment, that life moment, was a test. That God wanted to show me something, that I'm not all that I thought I was. Yet. But let me say something about God and our God of second chances. He's not a God of third or fourth or fifth chances. You go, wait a second. I mean, like, you had four chances, like, within 30 minutes. No. Actually, every one was another. It was a second chance. It was a second chance. Our God's a second chance. He doesn't hold the other ones against us. He forgives it. He forgives it. It's under the blood. Now you have another chance. Even before you even asked for it, He's already forgiven you. So this next moment is a second chance. Even though you didn't already confess the other 10 yet, it's right there, a moment, the God of second chances. So right now, He's here, the God of second chances, to go, try again. He ain't flunking anybody out. Just try again. That's our God. That's how good He is. Church, we've got some assignments. We've got some assignments that are going to prepare us for this. And when it's really a hard assignment, a hard trial, come on, just remember, in light of eternity, come on, it's worth it. In light of eternity, it's worth it. It's worth it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your promises. I thank You for Your love. I thank You, God, that You are the God of second chances. Lord, we have an assignment from You. And it's a good one. Full of hope, full of promises, full of your power, full of your love, full of your peace. We have some opportunities to trust you every day. And this is another opportunity right now to trust you. For God, there will be tests, there will be trials today, tomorrow, but we don't have to worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow has enough to worry about. All we have to do is pass the test today. In fact, pass the test right now. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you're not right with Jesus, you're cherishing sin, maybe you've never surrendered, truly surrendered your life to Him, there's a test. There's a call to trust Him. Is He Lord of your life? Is He the Savior of your life? Do you want Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life? Everyone here and everyone watching online, you got to make sure you pass this test. Who is Lord? Who's number one in your life? He will not take number two. He will only take number one, which means you're not number one. And nobody else in your life or anything in your life is number one. He must be first. It's the only way He can save you. It's the only way you can be born again. Today would be a great moment to pass that test by receiving Jesus. Maybe you're here and you haven't cared that much about your heavenly assignment. You haven't been living in light of eternity very much lately. But today you want to make a decision to live in light of eternity today. Today would be a great day to pass that test, to make that decision. No matter where you're at, your Creator's here to meet you and meet with you. Church, would you just pray this with me? It's just a prayer of surrender, no matter where you're at, of maybe a refreshing of getting right with God and just being reminded that His assignment is what matters. Eternity is what matters the most. So say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I want my assignment. I want to know my assignment. Your assignment for me matters. I thank you that you forgive me. Forgiven all of my sins. And that you're the God of second chances. And today, I put you first in my life. And I will live from this day forward in light of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.